God's word is not just to enlighten our minds, but to engage our wills so that we do something about it. Eugene Peterson called his modern paraphrase of the Bible, and that's what it was, a paraphrase. It was really like preaching. It was like a big, long sermon, but it was really taking the Bible and making it into a paraphrase. He called it the Message. And some of you even have copies of it. Because Scripture is not just FYI for your information. It's actually, God is telling, it's about God telling us how to live, how we should live. And we look at this Scripture today, and Jesus is doing something that's about our lives. If we take it for what I'm going to talk about today, I don't know how to put it in words. It's just God cleansing the temple. We are that temple. God cleansing the temple. Now we are that temple. That other temple's gone. We are the temple now. And it says in 2 Timothy about God's word, all scriptures God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God, and that means the believer, the human being who is related to God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, in the first verse of Acts, Luke describes what he had done in the previous gospel that he had written, because this was the second thing. Here's what he says. In my former book, that was his gospel, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. He followed the same pattern when he took up talking about the early church, the story of the early church, because he was telling us what Jesus was doing, he was still doing, and through what he was doing, teaching us how to live. So that goes hand in hand with this idea. God gave us the message to read and to heed, to hear it and to do it. So our text today is that about what Jesus did twice. He cleansed the temple. He did it at the beginning of his ministry, and he did it at the conclusion of his ministry, cleansing the temple. And it gives us a clear message about himself and about his will. Christ's ongoing goal is to purify his people. It's his ongoing goal. It's his goal today, as it was back then, to cleanse the temple and to cleanse us, to keep us pure. God had a new message for an old Jerusalem. When it was almost time for the Passover, and these verses are right in your worship folder if you want to follow. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. That Passover was a sign, the hallmark sign of the old covenant. Jesus was bringing the new covenant, which was predicted in Malachi, the last prophet in the Old Testament, the last prophet, Malachi, in chapter 3, verse 1. Here it is. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, the messenger of the new covenant, or messenger of the covenant, whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. John the Baptist was that first messenger who announced was the forerunner of the messenger of the covenant. And he made this pronouncement when Jesus was baptized. He said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This was the Passover Lamb, the new covenant Lamb. So these two times of cleansing the temple, as he started his ministry and as he ended his ministry, was really a prediction, or really a fulfillment of that prediction, that he would suddenly come to his temple. And it was like a parenthesis around the entire ministry of Jesus. Jesus was about changing things. Jesus was about about taking the law and make it more powerful, and also fulfilling the law and pulling us out from underneath it so that we can live the law of love. Well, in these two times, he was identifying something. He was identifying his father's will, because he was under his father's will. In the first cleansing, the first mark of the parenthesis, the first cleansing identified his prophetic authority. His prophetic authority, as what it says here, the Lord will suddenly come to his temple. That was a fulfillment of prophecy. And then the second cleansing, which were recorded in the other three Gospels, identified his priestly ministry. He was the messenger of the new covenant who had come to make that covenant in his blood, in his own blood. Now, Old Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the name, had a great meaning. It meant habitation of peace or city of peace. Faithful Jews were coming to the Old Jerusalem at Passover seeking a peace that the Old Testament sacrificial worship system was never really able to fully satisfy, able to fully provide. The city of peace, Jerusalem, had become like other worldly cities under the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. That was what it was considered, the Pax Romana, the Roman peace that was over the Mediterranean in all of their cities, where power and profit ruled over all. And that brought a certain kind of a peace. But, you know, we have that name in this city, Sacramento. Did you know that? Did you know the history of the name Sacramento? Churches here in the mid-1800s united regularly to pray for this city to be a sacrament of blessing for the entire state and the rest of the world. They came in regular prayer meetings praying that. But few would call it that now. You know, with power and profit generally guiding the interests of this city. Well, worse yet, these visitors that were coming found the traffic of greed right there in the temple, the very heart of Jewish religious worship. It was merchandising. And in verse 13 it says, in the temple courts Jesus found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting in the temple courts. He found a man selling cattle, sheep, doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. I don't know how this got messed up, but that scripture is not right in my translation here. Hospitality is something we offer for guests. We want them to have a clean environment, you know, and so what happens is that if we expect visitors, we tidy up, don't we? If not, we carry on as usual. You know, and then we say, oh no, someone's not coming. We hurry to get things cleaned up. Well, those in Jerusalem were carrying on as usual in spiritually untidy habits. They were carrying on as usual. Despite Malachi's warning that suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, they did not expect the Messiah. They did not expect him to show up today. We are citizens of the heavenly city of peace, the New Jerusalem. That's what we really are. We are citizens of that new coming age. And if we are God's temple, as Scripture says, and we have spiritually bad habits, if that's the case, then we must realize that Jesus, who lives inside of us, is present here. And his ongoing goal is to purify his temple, just as he did back then. God had an object lesson for us in that old Jerusalem. So here's what it says in verse 15. He made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. Now, was Jesus showing us how to influence people and not win friends? You know, really, I mean, bang, 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 and he was driving them out. Well, he was only doing his job. He was only doing his job. You know, managers, they have a hard job. They must confront employees who are not living up to the standards or whose behavior is unacceptable. And doing their job, sometimes they do not become popular or they become unpopular, you know, as Jesus became very unpopular. But Jesus was acting just like the son of his father. You would expect him to act. You would expect him to act like the father would be upset at this. And Jesus was upset at this. Cleansing the temple demonstrated his father's desire for holiness in his people and in their worship. It says in verse 16, to those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market? Behind this passionate, and it was passionate, passionate cleansing of the temple was his intense love for his father. It says in verse 17 about him, the zeal for your house will consume me. Zeal for your house will consume me. And later, Jesus showed that same passion on the cross, fulfilling his father's plan to provide for repentant sinners forgiveness of sins. Release of sins, cleansing from sins. So this consuming zeal to cleanse his father's house persists today in cleansing us who are the household of faith. Malachi, where we quoted from that prophecy, it says, suddenly, it goes on, suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. What's that about? That's about purification. That's about cleansing. Christ's ongoing goal is to purify his people. In union with him, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. But inner defilements shouldn't cause frustration or depression, like, oh man, I'm just no good, I just can't do it right, da-da-da-da. Here I find this thing within me that's not working out right. Christ's holy zeal empowers our own passionate anger against sin. Anger against those things that defile our lives, things that we do not want in our lives. We can have that same passionate anger, that same zeal that's in the Lord's heart. Why? Because we are in union with his heart. He lives within us. With his heart motivating ours, we can rid our lives of whatever is blocking. And I'm going to be talking in the next time that I preach again and again about what is it that blocks our spiritual growth up into the fullness of the image of Christ. What is it that blocks? What can we find in our lives that we can get rid of? And we need this zeal to do it. Well, there's good news in Christ's passion to cleanse us, and that is because God has a new Jerusalem for the old Jerusalem. His indictment that he was making against merchandising in God's house was so obviously true that the Jewish leaders didn't try opposing Jesus at that point. They didn't try stopping him. But neither had they tried stopping John the Baptist. But this prophet, here was a prophet who was going to ruin their prophet. Play on words there. This new prophet, he was beyond what John the Baptist did. He was trying to stop what we're doing here. You know, the prophets that we're making. He's a threat. So they tried what Satan did in the wilderness. In the desert temptation, they tried what Satan did. They attempted to affirm the validity of their own power, of their own status, of their own authority, by setting behavioral standards for Christ, parameters for him to follow. Here's what they said in verse 18. Then the Jews demanded of him, what miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this. And Jesus' reply was a death sentence on false worship. In verse 19 and 20 and 21, Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. Now, there would be no renewal of the temple that Rome was about to destroy. They were going to destroy this temple shortly after, a couple decades afterwards, this time. And it would never come back again, as far as we know, on this day and age, I think. But some people say that Jerusalem will be built again, the temple will be built, not this temple. But soon, there was something else. This temple would be gone, but soon there would be something else, Christ's resurrection. And it would forever set the divine standard for true worship. John 4:23-24 is the standard for real worship given by Jesus. "Yet a time is coming and has come now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers God seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth." Today, the disciples' hindsight is ours, because this is what happened in verse 22. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. As they knew, now we know that Jesus, he's offering us a place of peace in our hearts. He's offering us a peace that no human city of peace can offer us, can give us. We know that we are each temples of the Holy Spirit, needing personal cleansing, needing personal spiritual renewal. Just as the old Jerusalem and its temple needed a social and a religious cleansing. That's what they needed, but God has moved it into something very personal, our own cleansing inside. In our union with him, Christ's ongoing goal to purify his bride, just as he said, in Ephesians, he says, to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And this is what each of us really, really want, even if we don't realize it. It's what we want every day we get up, but we may not realize it. We need to sort of turn inward and say, "Jesus, what do you want to do with my day today? And is there anything you want me to get rid of out of my life?" You know, we need to realize that. And that's what really Jesus wants. He really wants to do that. That's what he wants for us. So if he lives within us, and we are saying to him, "Thy will be done," we should expect a cleansing. Pray. Father God, thank you so much for this passage, because, Lord, it does relate so much to us. You want to cleanse your bride. You want to present us to yourself fully mature, a fully cleansed, a holy living bride. And so we pray for everyone here. We pray for others that aren't here, and all the church that you are working with right now around the world. Lord, bless our spiritual lives to grow in you. And Lord, we're soon looking for that soon return, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.